Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Yesterday in our study of chapter 5, I was talking about the sad fact that many churches are teaching so much politically correct doctrine that a lot of young people are going to Christian colleges with no doctrinal foundation. Listen as we continue that thought today. Romans chapter 6, verses 14 through 16, demonstrates this difference and definition. It says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace?" Now listen to this strong rebuke. "God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." We don't obey in order to get saved. We obey because we are saved. You see, when he says, "God forbid," do you think he's speaking against applying liberty to the flesh? Or do you think God is saying, "I'd appreciate it if you don't apply liberty to the flesh, but either way, it doesn't matter if you do or you don't"? Oh, no. "God forbid" means simply that. God forbid. You see, the grace and liberty of God does not give liberty to the flesh to sin, nor to be worldly. Why? Because we are under grace, not law. What grace? God's grace. God's holy grace. God's grace is always, always, always holy. That's why he says, "Shall we sin to show we are under grace?" And then he says, "God forbid." See, this shows there was a problem in that day of trying to make grace and liberty apply to the flesh. Here it is condemned in strong terminology. As a matter of fact, is that way in Romans? Is that way in 1 John? Is that way in the book of Jude? Jude 4 says they turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. Well, anything goes. Well, you know, it's all right. You know, we live in a different era. We've got liberty to do those things now. And you'd think that that happened way back in the Bible days. It changed, but still, devils try to deceive and bring into the church today, and they're quite successful at it. Unfortunately, I talked to one Bible college president. He said the problem is today our churches are teaching so many religiously political correct things and trying to entertain our kids and make them feel like that this is where they ought to go because it's so much fun. They're coming into us without doctrinal foundations. They're coming into and there's any kind of a belief in them. They don't know even how to lead other souls to Christ. And here they are coming to a Christian college to prepare themselves to serve God. Well, you know, that is a shame, but it's really indicative of the last days where he says that in these days men would not endure sound doctrine, but heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, teachers that make them feel good, and it's all about the feelings. Now, the topper is in verse 16 there of 1 Peter, chapter 1, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. If you obey sin, then you are its servant. But you have liberty from God. But if you are obedient to Christ, then you have liberty from the power as well as sin's penalty. Now, people get saved and they get hooked therein. And for that cause, many slept early. Now, when God speaks of a person dying as sleeping, that means that's a person that went to heaven. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 30 talks about many of those come to the table of the Lord drunk and other ways slept early. But it's also clear that you make a choice. Whom do you choose to obey? Who is your master? Let me just warn you, the sin master leads to destruction. See, too many preachers today, they're growing beards and not wearing a tie. Now, there is nothing sinful about wearing a beard, nor of not wearing a tie. Really, there's nothing wrong with it, unless you're wearing it to show that you don't want to be associated with Jeremiah 6:16, the old paths. You're growing the beard because you want to say, hey, I've got a worldly flavor to me. Don't associate me with holy people. Well, you wouldn't say it like that, but that's the reason you're growing it. I mean, there is nothing wrong with me wearing a football uniform. I don't think there's one thing a bit wrong with me wearing a football uniform. I don't think there's anything wrong with me wearing a T-shirt and a pair of sweatpants as I work out. But now let's say that you call me and you ask me to preach your mother's funeral. And I go there and I have an old T-shirt on and an old pair of sweatpants on, and I'm going to preach your mother's funeral. You'd be upset. You'd say, that is so disrespectful of my mother. But then, you think it's all right to go to church that way? I should show more respect for your mom than for the God of the universe who has saved my soul from hell? You see, many times it is just plain old out-and-out ignorance that we say and we do the things that we do. Now, again, there's nothing wrong with a casual shirt, but shouldn't a coat and a tie be in the pulpit because you're speaking for the Lord? We don't expect when the presidential candidates are having debates, we don't expect when the president comes out to address the nation, when the men are gathered in Congress for a law, to be sitting there in Bermuda shorts and T-shirts, do we? Or polo shirts. Then why do we think God should? Why should we not respect God, but respect the offices that many men have corrupted? And, I'm just not sure why people think that we should corrupt the church, but not these institutions. Now, I find it's interesting that I see nothing wrong with the guitar. I actually don't see anything wrong with the drum. All music has beat in it, and a drum beats out music. When a drum becomes wrong, when a bass guitar becomes wrong in a church, is when it becomes the driving of the music. See, God designed melody, then harmony, and then beat. And when you get the cart before the horse, there's just a problem with that. It's not God's way. Now, you may do it out there in the world, but why do you have to bring the world into God's holy house? And yet people do that, and they desecrate the house of the Lord, much like Manasseh and others desecrated the temple in the Old Testament. Again, let's respect God. Let's respect His house. And preachers, let's respect the position that God has placed us in to represent Him. Don't allow the President of the United States, whether you agree with him or disagree with him, to have more respect for his office than you have for your God. Too many of these preachers are trying to be relevant. But they're trying to be relevant to the flesh, not the spirit. I think we need to learn to be more reverent toward God. And then we will be relevant as we warn a world that Jesus is coming again, as we tell the world that they need a Savior and that only Christ can save them. Well, it sounds like I'm getting carried away, and maybe I am, but hey, praise the Lord for it. Praise the Lord for it. So Jesus fulfilled all the law required. He did it in my place. Therefore, as my substitute, being in Christ, I'm going to walk as He walked by His help and by His strength. I'm not going to try to make the world think I'm them. I want the world to think I've got something they don't have, but God wants to give it to them freely. Now it takes us into verses 4 through 6 here of this passage. Verse 4 says, Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. Ye are fallen from grace. Well, that term, fallen from grace, has caused much debate and false doctrine, making some think salvation can be lost. But the key here is the phrase, justified by the law. The law justified no man. But consider where things get out of hand in this discussion. Jesus Christ did not come to do away with the law. Matthew 5:17, Jesus said, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Heaven and earth shall pass. One jot, one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Well, heaven and earth has not passed yet. So, not one jot or tittle that God breathed out and was placed in this written book, the Bible. It hasn't passed either. By the way, that speaks of preservation. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on His firm foundation, for the Bible stands. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands.